Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. It is Monday. I am Chris Graham. On Mondays on our podcast here, we talk NASCAR with Rod Mullins. And Rod, boy, what a race yesterday in Atlanta. The new track, we want to talk about that. William Byron with the win. Some crazy stuff down the stretch. Hope you're doing well. And what do you think about the race yesterday?
The best non-super speedway slash super speedway race that I think I've watched in a long time, especially from Atlanta, because Atlanta has been at times, as I look back on it, it's been kind of boring. It's been predictable. You kind of had the same idea who was going to win, you know, every time they ran there. It was either going to be a Ford, either going to be a Chevrolet, one of those two. Most of the time, Ford had been dominant down at Atlanta Motor Speedway a lot of the time, but you know, they decided to end all that last year, and they decided to just go and doze it all up, doze the track out. And Marcus Smith yesterday was standing in the corner of the media center at Atlanta Motor Speedway. And more than anything else, he was watching the laps tick down, and he had this smile on his face because they had been tasked with this big job of getting this super speedway sort of thing into a corporate portfolio. And Atlanta really didn't fit that kind of, you know, fit. It had always been a 1.5 mile, at least what they considered to be a cookie cutter type of track. And they turned around and they changed it. And, you know, this track, a 1.54 mile hybrid in Atlanta, and they put everybody on notice and said, hey, look, we've transformed what was maybe mid-size, mid-racing along the lines of a Charlotte and Atlanta before and turned it into a super speedway. And I'm telling you, some of the best racing I saw yesterday that I've seen even in this season.
I've got some of the numbers here. 46 lead changes.
Yes.
There were a record, Atlanta record at least, 20 drivers who had the lead at one point in this race. They basically were like you said, a super speedway type race. They reminded a little bit of Daytona from earlier in the season, where you saw lines of guys just kind of marching in order, trying to draft and get the advantage there. So talk about how you think the new configuration. You talked about the new configuration. They bulldozed it and started over. How it worked out. I mean, obviously great racing, exciting racing.
Yeah.
And the drivers adjusted as the day went on.
Yeah, the drivers did adjust. And, you know, one thing that I saw, I think, constantly on telemetry was as I was watching the race, you know, they really hit the speeds of somewhere in the neighborhood of about 184, 185 miles an hour. Now, you look at that, that's similar to Daytona, you know, sometimes a Talladega, considering what they've got on there, the package and so forth. But these guys were going down the backstretch. They were coming around the dog leg. They had some of them had some trouble, especially coming out of four. They had some tire trouble. Goodyear had some tire trouble yesterday. They don't seem to think that there's any kind of major ado about it. But a lot of right sides, a lot of right rear, right front was going out on them yesterday. But I'm telling you, you know, the drivers came away. Chase Elliott said it was crazy. He said, hopefully it was a fun race to watch because it felt like it was from his seat, from where he was at. Joey Logano, he just said, you know, it was a regular super speedway. He said, we keep on crashing or we just keep on crashing and we survive. But a lot of cars crashed today for sure. And, you know, it was just like what we would expect, but I don't know. I would have expected that at Atlanta in the past. I would have expected some wrecks, but not on the scale of what they had yesterday. And, you know, Logano kind of went on to say, I don't know. You be the judge if it was entertaining or not. It's a different type of racing. I don't think he came away very pleased about it whatsoever. I think Joey Logano's like, give me a short track, give me a super speedway, but don't give me something in between. And that's what this was to him.
So Byron got the win. Now he had the lead at the last restart, 13 laps to go. And dueling a little bit with Bubba Wallace. Bubba Wallace briefly took the lead, lost it back. You could have thought that maybe Wallace was in great position. You know, if everyone had lined up behind and kind of given him the push, he could have gotten it. But at that point, as the laps were dwindling down, it became every man for himself. The slingshot didn't take effect. And then in the rearview mirror of Byron as he's crossing the finish line, there is a big one. Take us into those last few laps.
The last few laps were just like, I'm telling you, when I saw the cars going everywhere on that last lap, and especially Bubba Wallace there at the end of it. Bubba Wallace slammed the wall hard. I was surprised at how hard he slammed the wall. He came out of it. He kind of bent over there for just a little bit, got his breath, but he said that was one of the hardest hits he's taken, and especially in this new race car. But, you know, he raced in it last year, but he said, this is one of the hardest hits I've taken so far this season. So, you know, he was kind of collected in that wreck. You know, there were so many people that were jockeying for position, but, you know, you made mention of this, you know, here they are going down the track here. And I really didn't expect for there to be super speedway style racing at this track. And they opened up two lines, two freight trains. And then if that one person had somebody with them on the bottom side of the racetrack and you had the person on the high side of the racetrack, you could pretty much travel around that track and you did well. But then if somebody suddenly, like Chase Elliott did toward the latter stage of the race, pulls out and he has nobody to go with him whatsoever, he's hanging out there to dry and he just starts going backwards. Same thing happened for Bubba Wallace on a couple of things of where they started going backwards and they just did not have. Who would have thought that drafting would have had such a significant impact at Atlanta? You know, I can see downforce, but, you know, the same thing about drafting, that's what surprised me so much. It was just one of those big surprises that came out of this whole thing of the reconfiguration of the Atlanta track.
So in second was Ross Chastain, third, Kurt Busch, Daniel Suarez, fourth, Corey LaJoie, fifth. Christopher Bell actually crossed finish line second, but he was penalized for dipping below the line and ended up being pushed back 23rd. Who else had good runs?
Well, I have to say that another good run in there for Eric Jones. Eric Jones got as high as about fifth or sixth, maybe even fourth yesterday in the race, but didn't have enough. I think he got collected in a little bit of a skirmish there toward the end of the race. Chase Briscoe, he ran fairly good there for a while too, but he ended up relegated to a 15th place finish. But you see, that's pretty much it. At that point, you start seeing Kevin Harvick, who was leading the race at one point, he drops back. He finishes 21st. Of course, they put Christopher Bell on the last of the cars on the lead lap. They put him at 23, finishing 23rd. And then you had just the rest of them. Austin Dillon had a good car yesterday, too, and he ends up getting in a wreck, one of the first big wrecks that they have. He ends up finishing 35th. Kyle Busch, another one that usually likes Atlanta really well, but I don't know how he's going to feel about this. He ended up finishing in 33rd, and none other than the champion from last year, Kyle Larson, he did not have a good day. He finished 113 laps down and finished in 30th place. So, you know, some of these guys had some good runs through the season and had, you know, last year into the first part of this season. Denny Hamlin's another one. He finished 113 laps down. The guys had to go back out there and try to get some points. And that's what they tried to do. But for Kyle Busch, I remember them saying his car was done. And so he pulled it behind the wall. That was the end of it. So much for the M&M's car on this race. So now they get ready to travel on to the Circuit of the Americas down in Austin, Texas. And we'll see how that one's going to go. A lot of people are starting to look at William Byron saying he might be the one that kind of upstages Chase Elliott on the road courses. But we'll have to see.
The Dillons got knocked out same wreck. Kyle Busch, the culprit there, I guess you can say. Austin Dillon said, I'm reading a quote here, "I was in the gas wide open and the 18 pushes and got me loose. I don't want to say anymore. My feelings are hurt. That's the second week in a row I've been taken out." And then he takes out his brother Ty as well. What was the other one I had here in my notes? Noah Gragson from the Xfinity Series, six-time winner on the Xfinity Series. He didn't make it through a lap, right? He got knocked down the first lap. Tough day for him.
Yeah, tough day for him. Brad Keselowski actually finished in a good position. He'd finished something like 24th last week. He came back and rebounded back to finish 12th this week. But still, those cars aren't where Roush, Fenway, Keselowski Racing need to be at. Chris Buescher, he finished 7th. He had a good run, too. Buescher has actually finished better than Keselowski in a couple of races, but You've got Keselowski. You're expecting more out of this veteran coming over and his driving experience. And, you know, all these cars are supposed to be the same. What's going on here? Why can't somebody like a Brad Keselowski get it to the front and be able to do something with that car? That's a question everybody is kind of scratching their heads about. But I think I liked what Clint Bowyer said yesterday during the course of the race. He said, this has just evened everything out. He's still staying with that story. He says, this has evened everything out. You've got these smaller racers, these guys that maybe don't have as much of a reputation as a Chase Elliott or Brad Keselowski, a Kyle Busch, but look at what they're doing. They're going out there, they're racing, and they're making for some great racing when they get out there, if they can stay out of trouble. So, you know, and a great finish too. I've got to give credit where credit's due. Kurt Busch had some damage on his car yesterday. Didn't know if he was going to finish, but he ended up finishing third. So, you know, another good run for Kurt Busch in that 23X11 series, if you want to call it that 2311 racing team that they've got. So another good run for him right there.
If you liked yesterday's race, NASCAR is returning to Atlanta in July. You can watch it again then. It'll be, yep, I'm sure, just as exciting in July on the return. Now, you mentioned, Rod, the Circuit of the Americas race coming up this weekend in Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. First of six road races this year for the NASCAR series. Chase Elliott was the winner last year in the inaugural Circuit of the Americas race, so maybe look at him as a potential favorite. And we also get to see how the new cars fare on a road course.
Yeah, I think this is what's going to be interesting, to see these cars on the road course for the first time and see how they handle. We're starting to get the idea of how they are around an oval, or at least an oval, a modified oval with a dog leg on both sides. We're starting to see that a little bit more, but now we're going to see how well these cars handle in the turns, tight turns, pinwheel turns. You know, it's going to be something to watch. And I think that you can't really rule out Chase Elliott in this race. I think he's raced really well when he has been on the road course, but, you know, still, you kind of run out of time after a little bit when everybody else is trying to catch up with you. And I think that's what we're going to probably see, some other people who will probably make some runs at it. Martin Truex Jr., got to give him some credit. I think he's done well on the road course. Of course, he was at the Roval, the first race we were at down at the Roval, and got taken out by Jimmy Johnson. Then he was well on his way to winning his first Roval race in that road race there. But, you know, I can't count him out either, and I can't count out somebody like Bubba Wallace also. Bubba Wallace is hungry for a road course win, and he'd like nothing more than to get one down at Circuit of the Americas. You got so many other people in there too. Kevin Harvick. Kevin Harvick's still looking for a win on the season. He'd like nothing more than to get one there. And then Kyle Larson, he looks to try to improve on his status from where he's finished. And Austin Cindric, he's raced good before at the Roval race, and also he raced it last year, Circuit of the Americas in the Xfinity Series. I kind of expect him to race real well on this, because he knows how to handle a car, knows how to take care of his car, especially on a road course.
Every week gets us closer and closer to the dirt track at Bristol. You'll be there for us. When is that again?
It's coming up on Easter weekend, and that will be, I think, something like the 16th, 15th, 16th, 17th, something like that.
Less than a month away.
Yeah. Easter weekend. So they're doing some different things with it being Easter. They never used to run on Easter holiday or the Easter Memorial Day weekend, if you call it that. They always took off for that break. They always used to take off for Mother's Day. They don't do that anymore. So they decided to run it this weekend on that Easter weekend, put it as a night race, and also bring in some big names. I think, you know, what's going to be big is the pre-race concert to try to attract some people to get them out. They're going to have Chris Tomlin there. They're also going to have noted speaker Max Lucado is going to be speaking. So they're giving the race fans a chance to kind of have Easter church services before the race on Sunday evening and everything, and still remember what they're there for, but also watch some great dirt racing under the lights at Bristol coming up on that Sunday evening.
Looking forward to that, and looking forward to your coverage of that, Rod. So you'll be there on AFP's behalf. That's going to be some fun, no doubt about that.
Yeah, it will be. It will certainly, you know, every time I go back to Bristol, of course, this will be the first dirt race I've had a chance to cover at Bristol. So with the Cup car. So yeah, this will be an exciting one, to say the least.
Well, Rod, thank you as always for your time and your insight into NASCAR. I really appreciate it.
No problem, Chris. Thanks.
All right. Well, for our listeners out there, thank you for your time today, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.